Good morning, brothers. Good morning. Good evening. Good afternoon. Whatever it is, I really don't know because you mentioned us coming here from Alaska. We actually just returned from a trip to Alaska. We spent 3 weeks up there and just flew back on Tuesday. And I used to do this, Alaska to the East Coast and back when I was in the Coast Guard. And I don't remember jet lag being such a big deal then. Maybe it's because I was in my 20s. And that was a long time ago. My brain is not sure what time zone it's in. And I thought, hey, that might be a good thing because I have never had to do a 15-minute lesson before. I could start in a Florida time zone and maybe end in Alaska time zone. And that leaves me about 4 hours of leeway. But David outsmarted me, and I've got a timer staring at me there. So that's not going to work. I also brought back, you could probably hear it in my voice, quite a bit of sinus congestion. I promise you, it's just an allergy thing. I'm not going to get anyone sick. It got me every year that we lived in Alaska. I would get this allergy thing in the spring when they would kick up all the dust when the snow melted off. So I am running on Dayquil and caffeine right now. In fact, if I just stop here and kind of stare, either my time is up or my caffeine is up. Josh, get me some coffee and I'll return to you shortly. I'm not sure what time zone I'm in right now, and I'm not feeling the greatest, but there's no way that I was going to miss this. There's no way I was going to miss the opportunity to recharge and power up through fellowship with a bunch of my brothers. This is way, way too important. This kind of fellowship, this kind of community involvement, this is way too important to be missing it for any reason. And this is something that I think the whole world learned a lot about. They learned the hard way. That people need people, that we need community, that we need brothers and sisters, we need fellowship. We've taken it for granted for so many years because it had never been taken away from us. It turns out human beings are very social critters, and not having connection with other people turns out is very, very unhealthy for us, psychologically, emotionally, and even to an extent, our physical health, but especially for our spiritual health. Now, there's a time for us. There's a time for being alone. That's for sure. We see in Luke 6:12 and other places that in these days, he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. Jesus would withdraw from other people to have some communion time with God. Now, we all need that kind of time, but people yearn for and need connection to other people. That's how God wired us. You know, it's been interesting seeing some of the studies that have been done over the last couple years that have highlighted the benefits that we miss out on when we don't have community. You know, there are plenty of studies now that have shown that there is a very direct link between the emotional stresses of social isolation and physical illnesses, including things like a weakened immune system, sleep disorders, and even heart disease. There's a connection between heart disease and social isolation. A public health study done in Canada even ranked social isolation as one of the higher risk factors for premature death. So there's a connection between social isolation and dying early. Social engagement and social connection are particularly important among older adults. I found this very interesting. Being engaged socially holds a very strong connection to better physical health, improved mood, a stronger immune system, and even lower risk of dementia. Is anybody here planning on being an older adult someday? Right. But for all age groups, healthy social interaction reduces the risk of mental health issues, lowers heart disease mortality, and contributes to better overall health. I don't know about you, but those all sound like wonderful things to pursue. I would like to lessen my risk of mental health issues, heart disease problems, and have better overall health. It has been noted that the healthiest and most resilient communities are very good at adapting and adjusting to and coping with adversity in ways to maintain that sense of community and the connection of people within their communities. And in doing so, those communities have protected and supported the health and well-being of even the most vulnerable members. And that's something that we saw many churches do very well in recent times. A lot of churches were forced into adapting to try to maintain some sense of community. Now, unfortunately, now that things are opening back up and we're able to get together as we are right now in person, true sense of community and fellowship, unfortunately, we've lost a lot of people who are not engaging in this, and that's terrible. But sharing our time with other people of the same values, interests, and views helps us realize that we don't face the difficulties of life alone. And life will throw difficulties our way. We even share knowledge and experience with one another to help the members of our tribe through their difficulties. Our personal communities become a support network for all kinds of situations. Sometimes we even need a little extra push in the right direction to help us stay on the right track. And those positive influences of like-minded people can almost always be found within a person's social network. But this is all worldly studies that are coming to these conclusions. Does the church have any of those things? Boy, we better have it in spades, right? I mean, even the word church goes back to a word that is referring to a group of people, a community of people. What is a kingdom without all the people, right? But our benefits go far beyond the benefits of community that the world enjoys. Because the source of the benefits that we enjoy in Christ, the source is God. And so we don't call them simply benefits. We have this special word that we use. We call them blessings. Do we have the social connection and engagement that is associated with better physical health, stronger mental health, stronger immune systems, and even lowered risk of heart disease? Every Sunday we gather together for worship. We have Bible studies throughout the week. We have retreats. We have Power Up. We have camps, lectureships, meetings, mission work. These things go far beyond addressing just our physical health, but our spiritual health as well. Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 highlights the importance of this when it says, "Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Do we have a community that helps protect the well-being of our more vulnerable members during times of adversity? Well, we better. Galatians 6, 2 says, "Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ." Do we have a support network of people with the same values, interests, and views to share valuable knowledge, experience, and resources with? Yeah, we better. 1 Timothy 5, 1 and 2 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but get this, encourage him as you would a father, younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters." We are brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers and children to one another. Proverbs 27, 17 says plainly, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." Do we belong to a tribe that will give us a gentle push in the right direction whenever we need it? Well, we better. Colossians 3, 16 tells us, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Admonish one another." I like what a brother told me. He says, "Well, admonition is like encouragement with a kick. Send them in the right direction." Ephesians 1, 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." And that is a tremendous thought. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. And every one of us in Christ is a fellow partaker in those blessings. But when we talk about the blessings that we enjoy in Christ, we're talking about not just those blessings in the heavenly places, not just eternity in heaven. That is going to be wonderful, and we should never overlook those things. But we're also talking about the blessings that we enjoy from our fellowship right in the here and now. Things like what we are doing together now. Things like we do every Sunday when we gather together for worship. Things that we enjoy when we get together for singings. Things like Bible camps, meetings, all kinds of community. All kinds of fellowship. God has wired us to respond positively and to be spiritually strengthened by our fellowship. God is well aware of all the things that we need for our well-being. And all of the things that science and medicine have finally begun to identify as necessary for our well-being, God already knew about those things. And He has already provided us with all of those things within our fellowship. And God is well aware also of the spiritual blessings that we need as well. And He has provided those blessings for us richly in so many different ways. But let us always remember those blessings and the source of those blessings. Let us always take the opportunity to share in those blessings. And let us always remember that to your brothers and sisters around you, you are one of those blessings. You are necessary to the physical and spiritual well-being of God's people around you. Because of what you provide for your brothers and sisters, you are one of God's blessings in His kingdom. So thank you all for being here today. Thank you all for taking the time to be a blessing to every brother here this morning. Thank you all for taking the time to help so many of us recharge and power up.